12 season. Prior to Alabama State, Coach Melendez was with the Bethune-Cookman Wildcats. How are you today, Coach?
I'm doing quite well, Michael. Thank you for having me.
Anytime, Coach. Coach, I kind of want to get back into things, and I don't want to bring it up too much during this podcast series, but Bethune-Cookman, before you became the head coach, before your coaching career started, you were a player from 1993 through 1996. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, you're correct.
Okay. And then after your playing days, what led you coaching the college baseball?
It was a situation where I wasn't looking into coaching, and Brian Reese at the time was the head coach when I played, and Brian Reese was taking a job at the University of Arkansas Little Rock, and at that time, prior to him leaving, he went to the athletic director and said, hey, you need to promote someone from the program that he can be an assistant coach and eventually take over the program, and the AD asked him who that person would be, and he said it would be me. So he approached me. I took a day or so to decide whether I wanted to start a coaching career. And needless to say, I said yes, and that was the start of it. So more of the credit of me coaching goes to Coach Reese for thinking of me, for Lynn Thompson, the AD, or he's still there. Coach Reese is actually a scout now with the Yankees organization, and Lynn Thompson is still at the Bethune Cookman. So they're actually responsible for starting my career.
Well, that answers a lot, because one of my questions to you was, did they choose you or you chose them? And it's obvious that they chose you.
And very fortunate, and I was telling someone this past week that God puts people in your path, and I'm a firm believer that things happen for a reason. And it was a case of more countries and Lynn Thompson that they were there in my life when I didn't know what I was going to do. And of course, as a youngster, you think about many things, especially playing the game, but don't think about the future. And they were there as angels to pave the way for me and lead me in the right direction.
Well, you've become one heck of a coach. You've touched a lot of people's lives, and I'm going to get into that later, because there's a ton of things that people don't know about you, Coach, and I want to present that to them. But once you became head coach, and you became pretty successful at Bethune, and now that you've extended that to Alabama State, all of your teams, you're going across the country, and you're playing a lot of top teams that's unusual for HBCUs. What's it like going against those teams?
Well, one of the things that I said I wanted to do from the start was to play the best teams and measure up my players against theirs. And, one, see if we can compete against them. Two, see if we can beat them. Three, see what are the things that we're still lacking within our program to be at that level. And there's no better way than to go up and compete against them and see how close you are to them, how you measure up, and the things that you still need to learn. So early in my career, I learned that that's the only way to get better. The only way to improve as a program is to play teams that are quarter on paper better than you. And I think we've been very fortunate that we have been able to compete very well against those teams.
Well, you've done more than just competed against them. You have beat a lot of top teams. You've gone to the playoffs. You've produced more winning seasons than a lot of Division I coaches combined. And what I mean by that, Coach, is the fact that every year you've never had a losing season.
I'm very kind of you, Michael. I've had a couple, but here's the key to success for any coach is dedicating yourself to the craft and knowing that in spite of the obstacles that we are facing at a lot of our institutions, if you put your heart and soul into it, if you're passionate about what you do, things usually work God on your favor. So very fortunate to have coached many young men that have been dedicated, and also to have had many assistant coaches that have been loyal to me and loyal to the baseball programs that we coach.
Well, a lot of the players are loyal to you. What it is known, Coach, is that you recruit heavily out of the state you were born in, Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
You have a foothold out of the recruitment from the island. Mm-hmm. How do you mainly recruit from just the baseball academy? And the reason why I say that is because Puerto Rico has a hotbed of talent coming out of the island. Players, and those players are filling they're filling HBCU rosters, and I consider you the father of diversity, and I've written about that a few years ago, and here's the reason why, is because those kids didn't have a chance to make it outside of a Division One ball. Instead, you brought them into the fold, into Division One HBCU, and now that has trickled down to the other lower levels of HBCU, Division Two and Division Three. And if you look across the board, Coach, there are a lot of Puerto Rican kids that are on nearly every major HBCU baseball program's roster than before since. And you were the one behind it. You were the one that got these kids to come to these programs. How did that come about?
Well, one of the things that, let me tell you how it all started. Well, one of the things that I learned in business school, and now this, the federal government has a lot to do with it. I was a business major, and one of the things that was preached to us was diversity in the workplace. And in fact, I wrote some papers on diversity in the workplace. So,
Coach, if you don't mind, I'm talking about your home state, the island of Puerto Rico, is that you have opened the doors up, not just sports-wise. More kids from Puerto Rico are getting into HBCU schools for educational opportunities.
Several of, I think
you just collected your 500 career win this past February 26th, and 5-4 victory over Winthrop. I don't know if you noticed it now, Coach, but February has been a very good month for you. This is February 2016, you got your 500th. In February of 2013, you got your 400th. Are you aware of that?
No, I'm not, and I'm glad that that's happening in that month. That is my first month as well. So I'm glad that a lot of good things happening in my first month. So just very happy that I'm able to do it and able to do it in this institution that has given me an opportunity to continue my career. I've been very good to me and my family and my staff. So very happy that it's happened here.
Well, it's funny because when you got your 400th career win as a coach, that occurred on your first game in 2013, and a no-hitter was thrown.
Right. I remember, and I still remember the day. It was against Charles State.
Correct.
AJ Renda was a pitcher. I debated in the seventh inning whether to take him out. He was getting close to the pitch count that we allowed in the first few outings. And one of my assistant coaches looked at me and said, "You better not take him out because you're going to be fighting me instead of him." And I let him finish the game against my wish, and he ended up throwing a no hitter. So very, you know, and of course, it really marks a milestone in my career. But this one is also special, and let me tell you why. We trade the Winthrop team that is not only good, but they pitch a future big leaguer, in my opinion. And he was a left-handed pitcher that was throwing anywhere from 92 to 96 miles an hour. One of the best pitchers that we have faced since I've been here. And winning against a quality opponent such as him and Winthrop says a lot about our program. So very special victory for us.
Well, your sports information director said something to me a year ago, and it kind of caught me off guard because I had never heard that before from any HBCU baseball program. He said to me that he says we don't believe in taking on anybody other than D1 baseball programs.
But that has always been my philosophy. I recall when I started in the philosophy of every HBCU was to play some of the non-D1 teams, just because of availability and some of them they consider to be lesser opponents. And I don't agree with that philosophy, and we just take on every Division I opponent, and sometimes we're going to be under the limit of 56 and we're allowed because it's just hard to schedule, especially nowadays here. But we're very, you know, we're very goal-oriented. We know what we want to be. We know what we want our guys to play against and how much better they have to get. And I think the only way to do so is by playing the best people that you can find.
Well, a lot of D1 HBCU programs, traditionally, they schedule Division II and some do NAIA programs. And that's more out of, like I said, more tradition than anything else.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, and it is. And it is. You're absolutely right. It's one tradition that if you're playing Division I baseball, of course, you want to measure up to the other teams and those bigger teams. And I think for me, and as far as my philosophy is concerned, that plus is the greatest benefit to our program.
Yeah, and I see that. I see that happening quite a bit, and you're correct on that. But Coach, just to wind down a little further, you spend your summers working with youth from your MBA program, which is better known as the Melendez Baseball Academy. Currently, Coach, you offer an opportunity for young players to receive valuable fundamental baseball skills. At the same time, you also inform the youth the importance of education. The question I'm raising to you is, have you ever had to coach any of the kids from your youth baseball camps in college baseball?
Well, we're getting to the point right now that those kids are now starting to graduate and go into
few games under your belt, and be honest with you, you started off with a losing record, and then as the season progressed, you picked it up big time.
Yeah, and it's by the side. Sometimes you play good teams, and it has been the case over the last few years. You open up with right teams, you open up on the road with teams that are high-caliber teams, and sometimes you play close games and they don't go your way. You can't get discouraged. You got to learn from those games, and hopefully, midway through the year, those outcomes are going to be on your side because you would have learned from those games. So it's all learning for us. It's all about getting better. And I think that I can tell you right now, Michael, that I've seen our team grow over the last 8 games, and hopefully we'll continue to do so.
Well, I happened to catch the game last night. I'm a stats kind of guy, and if I don't watch the game live, I watch a lot of live stats, and you played good defense, you had good pitching, and you tend to play a different type of baseball than what's played in the SWAC. What's known in the SWAC is every year a lot of SWAC teams have a tendency to have play the stolen base part of their baseball game, where they put up these huge numbers. Alabama State is one of the few teams in the SWAC that plays heads-up baseball, and that competes with the other D1 programs across the nation.
Well, I said at the beginning, I don't want to downplay the philosophies of every other coach in this conference, because I think that every coach is very smart about how they coach their program and have done very well. But for me, for our program, I follow